Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Look, I don't have to do this. I'm only doing it because it is who I am. That's how I played the game. That was my mentality. If you don't want to play that way, don't play that way. Break.
I'm sorry, but what the hell just happened there? So
it's how he wants to play the game.
His teammates start crapping on him, and in the various interviews, and then he, you know what I feel like he's doing, Hardy, is responding to the criticisms that are out there of him, responding to the conspiracy theory that he was suspended from the NBA, responding to the criticism that his teammates didn't like him. So they show a little bit of the teammates not liking him, and then him with this impassioned speech about how they only didn't like me because I played so hard and just wanted to win so much. And if you don't want to, you know, if you don't want to be like me, then too bad. You know, like, I'm all about winning. I'm all about success. And they must not be as much about that as I am.
Would you never lose
so
a game?
Much so that he gets emotional about it.
Well, you maybe shouldn't have gone on a plane and said Horace isn't going to eat tonight because he doesn't deserve to. Did you see how crappy he played? Hey, lady, don't give him that food. I mean, he plays both sides of it is what he does.
Yeah, to me, this is it's mostly about responding to the criticism from the teammates, because leading up to that, B.J. Armstrong, I thought, was great when, you know, they sat and asked him. And there was, you know, there was a great back and forth with B.J. Armstrong, you know, leading up to that, when, you know, he's with another team now, and he went off and had a great night. And, you know, they show what Michael did the next night in and this was kind of a theme running out throughout, especially episode 8, where it was, you know, how he would respond, you know. And sometimes it was something that was totally made up. You know, maybe it was a player who, you know, walking off the court after they had a great night would say to Michael, good game, ha ha, when Michael had only scored, you know, 12 to his 23, and then Michael goes off for 40 the next night. Well, it turns out that never happened. Michael, you know, Jordan just like made up that story. But in the case of B.J. Armstrong, you know, he did have one of these good nights, but he had played with Michael and he had played against Michael. And when they asked him flat out, like, is he a nice guy? It's like, I don't know that he can be nice. And I'm glad they're including this stuff, because I think this is something that we talk about a lot with these guys, whether it's coaches or players. I don't need them to be nice. I don't need Michael Jordan to be nice. I don't need Tiger Woods to be a good guy. I don't need Jack Nicklaus, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady,
Kobe. Kobe was the same way.
Of the greats. You know, any of the greats. If you are the best all time at what you do, to me, that's enough. You don't necessarily have to be a good guy on top of it. Where I get pissy is when people are trying to convince me that they are, in fact, good guys. So I'm glad that they're not trying to convince us that Jordan is really a good guy in all this, because I don't necessarily think he was. So what?
I also think he doesn't care about that criticism.
Well, he cares a little bit because he broke down crying.
No, I'm talking about from the public, not teammates, from the public.
I don't have to do this. I play how I want to play, and if you don't want to, cut. What?
It was bizarre. The whole thing really was bizarre at the end of the episode. I was like, what just happened? I'm like, I kept thinking I missed something. Let me watch that again.
And he's been on with Toucher and Rich, and, you know, getting the footage and putting all this together and doing it on an accelerated timeline. I mean, awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
2 hours every Sunday night, and I'm loving it, and I can't wait for the finale. It's just one of those I'm sure he's watching it again and thinking, like, what he would do differently. I wonder if he had a chance to recut the end of that episode, if he would, at the moment when Michael, like, says something and starts to cry, if he would just drop the audio and, like, go to a black screen, as opposed to allowing Michael to say cut and then cutting. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, let's maintain the illusion of some more impartiality here. Because as you said, Beetle, now we're back into the autobiographical definition of this, as opposed to a biography or even something approaching a documentary. When you allow the subject to say cut and dictate the terms of the shooting that day, I wonder if he had a chance to edit that again, he would leave that part out of it. Because it's pretty powerful watching Michael break down in his gibberish about playing how he wants to play, and you either come along or do it or don't do it. Blah. You don't even have to fade to black. You can just, you know, end it like the Sopranos did. Boom. Black screen, silence, that's the end of that episode, and that would have been pretty cool too. But we're really, really nitpicking.
Or done a better job of filling in sort of the blank there between the players and him arriving at that statement that he made at the end of the episode. It was sort of disjointed a little bit. That's what I thought.
It's choppy. But
I imagine like the job of doing this, sitting down for what probably amounted to days worth of filming with Michael Jordan.
Oh my God, yeah.
Like there may not have been an easy lead up question that led to that, you know, that response and that, you know, that emotional breakdown from him. He may have been talking for 5 minutes at that point and finally just kind of broke down and lost it. So there may not have been an easy way to kind of get us to where he was at that point. But it was good. And it lost me a little bit with not doing a little bit more on the gambling, but you know, now that we're refocused in on kind of like that 98 season, I'm kind of ready for it.
I forgot? You know what I had forgotten about, though, Hardy, was that he was able to play at AA for Birmingham simply because they didn't have a place to put the media at any other ballparks.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that part.
I think maybe I'd heard that at one point, but didn't think it was like a reliable statement. No, that is the truth. Jerry Reinsdorf admits it. He says, "Nah, we had to put him at AA because of the media attention, and we needed somewhere where we could house, you know, the media requests." And they showed the throng of just, oh my God, how many people were covering those games?
I don't know.
Ridiculous. We were talking about it. Oh, I remember it.
Hundreds. It looks like hundreds.
So to go back to episode six, the selling point of being exhausted by the media attention, there may have been more of it at the minor league ballparks than there were when he was playing with the Bulls the season before.
It really doesn't help with that whole mental fatigue aspect of it.
Yeah,
if you want to get away from the media so bad, they were wearing him down.
And maybe you guys had heard this before, Zoe. I don't know if you ever heard Francona say this before, but this was the first time I ever heard him say it. He said it, if Michael had stayed and played baseball, gotten 1,500 at-bats, that's the amount of time he would have needed, he would have been called up to the big club. That's how much time and he was progressing at such a rate where he would have made it there eventually.
Was he though?
that's what it wasn't me.
No,
it wasn't some sports writer. It was his manager. It was Terry Francona who said 1,500 at bats he would have made it to the White Sox.
617-779-0985. We'll jump back to your calls coming up. If you have reaction to The Last Dance last night, happy to hear your reactions to that. The NBA is formulating some plans for a restart. They had a call with players over the weekend, a conference call. Shaquille O'Neal has some thoughts on everything going on with the league. We'll throw that into the mix coming up next as well.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Adam Silver was pretty candid with the players this afternoon on that call, talking to them about the possible resumption of play this season and what the future might hold. But in the short term, you know, Adam Silver talked about a one or two site model where players would go if the season were to resume. No decision on resuming the season likely anytime in May, and even well or into June at the very least, that the league believes they have time. He left open very much the possibility that regardless of whether this season is played, that next season could start sometime in December. And he painted a potentially grim financial future in this player-owner league relationship, you know, based on lost revenue and no guarantees next year about how quickly and how fully arenas will be able to return with fans in them.
Wah bam loom bam la bam bam to the boo.
Adam Silver had a conference call with players over the weekend, and Adam Silver told his players that 40% of the NBA's revenue comes in the form of fan attendance at games. Yes, 40% of the revenue is in the NBA from you showing up and paying for your ticket, and maybe in some buildings, you know, the cut of concessions and luxury boxes and everything that goes with that. I'm guessing that may even include some other money involved as well, such as advertising in stadium or in an arena that becomes less valuable when there's not 20,000 fans in there every single night. I'm not sure what that all accounts for, but 40% is dependent on fans coming through the turnstiles at games. That's bad news for the NBA.
That's sure so is. Much more than I thought it would be. I can't believe it's that high.
I'm surprised it's that high. And so Silver told players that the more they play without fans, the dire financial situation will only be getting worse. They are not expecting, and it will not, it sounds like, from those reporting on the call, it does not sound like the NBA is at all interested in having fans in the building if they resume this season. They're not going to put fans in the building. They're
not making money. What's it worth it for them to put it out there, and then now you got to pay the players? I mean, you're paying the players anyway, but I don't know. I don't know. They're in a tough spot. Again, I mean, we talked about hockey last week, and I think that's going to be the most difficult to come back from. But there's going to be a point where, okay, now we got to start looking at next year. When do we start that? Is it going to be the shortened thing? Are you going to push it back like they're talking to in December? They got to worry about the next 2 years, not only to finish this season, but how you setting it up for the future here.
So Jared Dudley, former BC guy, said he is hearing that there will be an October restart for the NBA. He tweeted out over the weekend on Twitter, Jared Dudley 619. October was the latest I've heard. The thinking is the longer it takes to finish, the longer they could push back the start of next season until next December or January, and then giving the league a possible chance for fans to make it in if a vaccine or treatment becomes available. So he's saying what he's hearing is the longer they push, the longer they could push into next year. And I think my initial reaction was, well, come on, how long are you going to be able to push the next season?
7 months.
I think 7 months.
That's ridiculous.
What do you mean?
I'd rather cancel the season than they're going to push it back to 7 months. October is 7 months from then when they would have last played. You're going to have a short season.
All right, let me give you scenarios, yeah, though. Let me give you a scenario.
Okay.
You can't have fans in your building until 2021. We're not going to have fan gatherings, and the NBA will not have fans in the building until 2021.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it make the most sense to then start your season in January?
Yes.
And what does it matter at that point? Like, oh, and then the following season screwed up. And you know what they're saying to themselves? Yeah, I guess it will be. We'll have to figure it out. And maybe every year we gradually go back over the next however many years it takes at this point, 3 or 4 years before we're back to what the schedule used to be. Right? And so they're thinking, well, just keep playing. They are the sports, though, that is, in my opinion, the least affected by the calendar and what time of year it is. You can play basketball any time of year.
Yeah.
What day you want to play? We can play it. You know, basketball season currently is from October until, you know, end of October and into June. But you could play it in January and end it, you know, whenever you want. Like, you could do it. Basketball has none of those issues that hockey has, none of the issues that baseball has. Football has fewer of the issues because you can play in pretty much all the elements.
How much is this going to affect people mentally, though, as far as the players? Whether, you know, you look at a young kid, now all of a sudden, okay, all right, I'm probably not going to be that affected by it because I'm used to being on my own or living by myself. What about some of these guys that have families now, and now you're trained to look at everything and everything that you do now in life differently? What's their desire going to be like? You know, some guys could be, hey, I got 1 or 2 years left, you know, max. And maybe it makes them rethink some things. And here we are 7 months after the fact, picking up a season to where a guy like Durant and Kyrie can play and all of a sudden become an effective team in Brooklyn. It's a head scratcher that you're going to allow a season to continue after a 7 month break. It just seems more likely to stop and just start in January.
Well, it's unprecedented for sure.
Sure.
But if you want sports back sooner rather than later, why not do that? Why not finish out the season after a long break? And you have sports and you have something to watch and it does count. And you get let everyone get their appropriate gearing up time. Here's what I've arrived at. So what's the argument against it other than that's a long break? That never happens. Yeah, no, a lot of things have never happened.
It's like you're into the next year. I don't know. It's the whole asterisk thing that we talked about last week with hockey. You know? What are you going to do? Just going to go right into the playoffs, abbreviated short season, right into the playoffs. We're going to crown a champ. Is he really the champ from last year?
That's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what they want to do. And so I also go back to this with basketball. The season starts in late October, right?
Right.
Right around November 1st. Why? What's the reasoning for that? I can figure out the reasoning why baseball starts in April and why football has started in the fall. And why hockey is played in the winter months. I know all the what is basketball? They're not beholden to any month of the year for any reason.
Play in arena anyway, yeah.
Like
you really don't want to go up against football, right?
Like what if basketball had without a pandemic just said, "You know what? Our season starts in January now." Okay. I don't know why you're doing that. We like it where it is, but I guess it doesn't make a big difference.
You may draw more fans.
Like, you know? I don't know. It's the one sport that is not stuck to the weather at all. They can do whatever the hell they want.
Yeah.
They don't have to worry about the seasons. They don't have to worry about how hot it is outside. None of it. They can play. And so I think players are going to want to do this too, Zoe, because this is their best shot at recouping as much money as they can get in the league.
That's what drives you. That's what drives you as a player. I thought Stevens had some interesting stuff, too. Like, if you go and you start playing in front of fans or you're not playing in front of fans, he goes, our damn practices are so intense that it's almost like a carryover for us. And it would benefit a young team that takes coaching like the Celtics do. So there are going to be some teams that have that advantage.
Beagle, explain to me how they recoup more by restarting the current season in the fall as opposed to just starting a new season.
Well, because the new season will be the thought there from Dudley, as I was talking about. The thought is if you can push the new season into next year, you'll be able to have fans in the building starting next year. The longer you push it out, the better the chances you'll be able to allow your fans in and get that revenue. You don't want to start a new season in October with
start
no fans.
Start or start
because now
stop
you've lost.
Again.
You've lost surge. Maybe by the time you get to January of next year, if you start in the fall. You've just played a bunch of games where you couldn't put fans in the building, and you lost all the money on the next season. So don't start a next season. Finish out the current season with no fans. Collect on your TV money as best you can. And then when you do start a new season, you've pushed it back so that people can come in and you make that money. And you've got more product for the calendar year 2021.
Yeah, you're going to have to deal with an upset calendar, you know, for a longer period by doing it that way. and they're gonna have to figure that out. But maybe that's the least of their concerns right now. It's like, yeah, we'll figure that out down the road.
Yeah, you gradually start bumping back as you each year until you're back to what you used to have. It might take a few years. It might take 3 or 4 years to get it right. Whatever at this point.
It's a major upset. It might take a few years to correct in terms of scheduling. Yeah.
I think they're best suited to deal with it. And so I think they're going to take advantage of it. And I'm sure players will get on board because, well, they want to make their salaries too.
Did you see the stuff Steven said he's telling his team too about staying in tip-top shape to make sure that you're 1 week away from that? Which I think is so hard for these guys to do. He goes, because we're going to practice hard the second we get cleared. He said we're in like a holding pattern. We're on call. We're like a doctor on call. You got 1 week. I find it hard to believe that 90% of that league is staying in peak basketball conditioning shape. That's hard to do when you're training by yourself. I'm sorry.
Adam Silver did tell the players that it will be safer if they decide to go to one or two locations, such as Walt Disney World or Las Vegas. He told players it's going to be safer if we settle down somewhere. Mm-hmm. He also fully admitted to his players, listen, these are a lot of bad options. He said there are no good options. We're picking from a lot of bad options. So he's not trying to sugarcoat it. He's not trying to sell them on anything. He's telling them these are just the realities we're dealing with at the moment. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. We can get back to your calls. Actually, why don't we grab one here before we get to headlines with Hardy? We were talking earlier about different games that maybe we could see played other than the greatest hits. Brian in Manchester, what do you have for us?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
So, three games I wanted to bring up real quick. So, I think it was 03. I missed this game because I had a football game that day, but it was the OT winner against the Dolphins, Brady to Brown. I think it was like a 70-plus yarder. And then the 06 game against the Bears, the famous Brady, Urlacher, Juke. I'd love to watch that again.
Okay.
And then lastly, Patriots dominating the Detroit Lions, Sawyer Hardy, in the fourth quarter. I think it was like 49-19 or something like that. Thanks, guys. That's all I got.
Ooh, I don't love that.
49-19
is a game that you need to watch again?
That wasn't even a nail-biter, Hardy. That was a 49-19 win, a 30-point win.
But
that'll hold me,
the
boy. Oh, was it the Thanksgiving game? Was that when they wore the reds?
You know what? Let me see the game where
How about when Harlan Barnett got his ankles broken by Barry Sanders? Let's watch that one.
You know what?
I saw that.
Let's see the NFL replay the game where they absolutely hosed the Lions and gave the Cowboys the win because they wanted the Cowboys to face the Packers in the playoffs.
It's one of the worst calls I've ever seen in my life.
Let's see them throw the PI flag and then pick it up and say, nope, there wasn't any PI on that. And then let's see them ignore holding calls when Dallas gets the ball back and starts driving down the field, and they're manhandling the Lions rushers once they get into the red zone because, well, the Cowboys have to score here. Why do they have to score? Because we need them to win so they can play the Packers. We can't have the Lions advance in the playoffs. What are we doing here? Let's see them replay that game. I would love to see that one. That one I would sit down and watch again. Talk about needing something to get angry about all over again. I would love it.
Sorry.
Hey, do you remember that game in 03, Zoe?
I do.
Do you remember what happened in that game right before the Brown touchdown? The Brown touchdown was the first play of the drive. And this is why you'd want to re-see it.
This is the one when Steve Burt was jumping up in the air and he's on the front page of Patriots Football Weekly.
There's a moment that gets lost in that, and that is there was an interception that set up that drive. The Dolphins were at midfield with the football, and what's his name? Quarterback, Miami, at the time.
03, Fiedler, maybe?
Yes, no. Bingo. Yes, thank you. Jay Fiedler. Jay Fiedler threw a pick to Tyrone Poole. So the interception is what got the Patriots the ball back before Brady threw the bomb
Troy.
To Troy.
Yeah, I think Troy broke the route, too. I remember him talking about that. It's kind of an in-cut, and he saw the way the safety sat. He just took it to the post, and Brady found him, bought some extra time, slid left.
Yep.
Hell of a throw.
All right, then. Let's cue that one up, although that's more difficult because you got to deal with the national networks. The local stations can't just fire up NFL games. 617-779-0985, the telephone number. We've also got some news out of Major League Baseball. Maybe they're firming up their plans. Maybe not. We'll get to it next.
visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
First, our introduction.
Zolak, Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, I feel like baseball has finally started to firm up some of these plans, Hardy. I feel like it's going in the right direction. This is yet again just another idea, but these details that Ken
Rosenthal... We back to Florida or we back to Arizona? Which one,
nope,
which one are we doing?
Neither
here?
One. Ken Rosenthal over the weekend with the details of the proposal that is on the table right now in baseball. They're looking at 78 or 82 games, playing in home ballparks, starting in July, even in a place such as New York City, which has been the hardest hit by the virus. They are planning on trying to get into the home ballparks, playing in July, 78 or 82 games. Also, Rosenthal hits on the idea of the three divisions. Not quite, but something similar, and that is you will play the teams closest to you geographically. So the NL East and the AL East are probably playing each other.
Okay.
AL, NL Central, they're going to spend all their time playing each other. So it's sort of like a realignment, but it's more about schedule realignment. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so they're not going to break up the divisions. They're going to keep the divisions intact for when things continue on the other side. And you will play a geographically friendly schedule. You will play 78 or 82 games. In fact, in this story, Rosenthal lays this out. He says a 78-game schedule might look like this. 4 3-game series against each division opponent and 2 3-game series against each non-division opponent. So that's a nice weighted schedule. You play the teams in your division more than anybody else. And then you play one fewer series against the other division in your geographic area. It's sort of a nice, neat, tidy plan that allows them to get back to playing games. Yes, it will be without fans, but they think they can pull this off starting in July. And it seems reasonable. When you're not playing with fans, I think that's gives you more options.
At least you're playing in your home ballpark. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not these rented ballparks or your spring training complexes or some collegiate field. It actually feels like a pro game to you. At least if you could get into Fenway Park or you get into Yankee Stadium, at least it feels like, you know, we're doing our job. And that should help the players a little bit.
So it just feels like this is the first, like, real solid plan that says this is what we want to do. And that's the way the tone of Rosenthal's story says that.
It seems the most humanizing, meaning, okay, we're going to take you and we're going to quarantine you, and you're all going to live in one hotel, and we're going to go to this complex, and everybody's not going to be able to see everybody. You're not going to be able to be with your families. This gives you some normalcy of life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Hey, we're just going to go. We're going to try and play in July, and if something happens, we're going to pull back, but we're not going to do it in front of fans. We're trying to take care of each other, but at least give you a normal life. Like, nobody wants to get quarantined without your family.
No, and to me that never seemed and
it didn't
like
seem
a
fair,
viable
right?
option.
To tell them to do
it. Well, it's fair or unfair. It just I didn't think it was going to be something they'd be able to pull off, just in a short amount of time. All right, everybody, wherever you are, I know you were planning on coming here, but now you're gonna have to go elsewhere. Can family come? We only have so many tests. We're not going to be taking all the tests that we actually could. We're going to move here, and then we're in addition to going to a whole new place and a whole new living situation for everybody in, and in some cases, a whole new park. We're going to do a whole new schedule, and like, whoa. you're talking
slow
about
down.
This year? You're talking about this year? How about we start with everybody plays where they were expecting to play, and maybe we just redo, the schedule and not having fans there and kind of take this like one major upset at a time instead of upending the entire system. So in that regard, it seems to make the most sense. And I'm glad they're talking about a drastic reduction in the number of games. You know, that was something that he said, you know, right off the bat.
Right.
You know, 80, 78, 82, whatever. Good. Don't think that, you know, like our caller last week, you know, double headers every day and stretching them into, you know, much later in the year.
Well, now, that caller has us 2 months shy of a vaccine. So, you know, he's got high hopes.
Yeah, that's right. Vaccine, double headers. And everybody plays for half the amount of money they were going to get paid according to their contracts.
Whoa. Sunshine, like vaccines, and baseball. That's America, baby.
Let's come back from La La Land and think about something that might actually happen. So I'm glad they're also not putting, like, hard dates on it. And, you know, they talk about, and Rosenthal talks about in the piece, like, the different dates that are already in effect, whether it's traveling to and from the U.S. and Canada, and he talks about the different opening dates in different cities in terms of when you can get back to business. So all this has to be kind of factored into when this actually takes place. But we've seen by now the folly of putting a date on something, saying, we're gonna open things up on this date,
right?
And we're gonna have people back to work on this date. Well, it's all nonsense. Nobody knows. So instead, let's get a plan in place for a half schedule and say later, okay? And we'll start working on it. And maybe in 3 weeks or 4 weeks from now, we'll have an idea of when that would actually be. But let's just start with what we're going to do when we can do it. And leave it open-ended to the point where, you know, this plan works for mid-June up until late July. You know, this is our plan, and we've got a 6-week window in which we can get it started, and let's see how that goes. To me, that seems the most viable, has the best chance of actually being put into action.
Let's get back to your calls. We've got three open lines. You want to grab them? We'll go right to the calls coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap and the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Did you not hear me?
I couldn't hear you.
No.
Now you could hear me.
Now I hear you.
There we go. My apologies.
Well, you weren't talking before.
I thought you were sitting here doing a segment by myself. No one was hearing it.
No. I thought you were enjoying the song. I didn't see your mouth moving.
Chris in Hartford, call us back. Call us back, Chris. He's calling back right now. If we could put him back up on the line. I had taken the call and then thought he wasn't there. But I was. Wow. I was the one who wasn't there.
You weren't there.
I wasn't there. Chris in Hartford. My apologies. Go away. Take it away, Chris.
Go away.
Hey, morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Oh, this is the Harvey caller.
Hey, this is Chris from Hartford, Harvey. You know? Yeah, you're definitely not stupid, Harvey, because this time I actually want to agree with you 100, maybe 200%. You were talking about the 1997 Masters on, you know, the rerun on how it's not compelling, you know? And I just want to agree with you. You know, a matter of fact, every time I watch golf, it's non-compelling. Kind of like what comes out of your mouth when you talk about sports. Do us all a favor, Harvey. Call your boss and tell him you got lost.
I missed what he said at the end.
I did, too. I couldn't make out what he was saying.
Wow, did you get roasted?
He called to agree with you.
He got you.
And just to crap on you? What was that?
I don't know.
Hey, Harvey, how you doing? I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey. Hey, let me ask you something, Harvey.
Does he really think your name's Harvey?
I don't know.
No.
It's not
no.
like any of us saw it coming.
He's just being a dick.
Away. Yeah.
He doesn't actually think his name is Harvey. What was he yelling back at the end? What was he yelling?
What are you
waiting
Hardy?
A long time for that?
Harvey, is that a state cop hat?
Chris and Hartford. No, it's my Bushwood Country Club hat.
Chris and Hartford, nemesis of Hardy.
I thought I was the only one.
Doesn't the nemesis have to be kind of like a two-way street?
Yeah, you're right.
It's Cattles. Like, is Cattles
I'm,
one?
I'm his obsession.
Yeah. Dan is in Milford. Hi, Dan.
How you guys doing?
Hey.
Beal, just go with your earlier discussion about the classic games that it would be harder to see. I mean, I know that Nesson's been showing the classic Bruins games from like the early 90s, some of the 80s ones, and then obviously the Celtics classic as well. But I was thinking, you know, just some of the, you know, more classic playoff games from the mid-90s Patriots teams. I mean, like the Fog Bowl with Pittsburgh or...
Ooh,
I mean,
good
one. I haven't seen the AFC Championship game against Jacksonville since they played
it. That's another good
grade.
One.
Yeah. I was just curious. You had mentioned that it would be tough for like local broadcasts to get those NFL games. But, I mean, those ones seem to be games that might just be good for a local broadcast. What sort of discussions would, you know, local broadcasting have to get into to show those again? Because I think for a younger generation who's never seen Drew or any of them really play, you know, I think those would be good ones for them to see just to talk about like an earlier time. All right, guys, that's it.
All right.
Enjoy the show. We'll talk to you later on.
All right, Dan. Appreciate it. The only place where I believe currently old NFL games before this happened were run in their entirety was NFL Network, because it's easy, neat, and tidy. All of the revenue from NFL Network belongs to the NFL.
Yeah.
They don't have to give themselves permission to run games. They would have to give permission, as they have done, to some of their broadcast partners like ESPN and Fox, as you saw yesterday. Those are national broadcasts where the national broadcaster has some sort of formula with the league. Hey, give us permission to run the game. We'll pay you X, Y, and Z to do it. If you're a local broadcaster trying to broker a deal with the NFL for individual games, think of how many local broadcasters would approach the NFL and try and do it. And, like, how much of a headache it would be for them. You know, no, forget it. We're not doing it. Like, we control the content. And I feel like the NFL is more hesitant than any of the other leagues to sort of keep things on lockdown and keep their rights to those games protected and no one else showing them. They like to control the content stream, if that makes sense. So I don't know. But they'd have to approach the league about getting rights to re-air their games. And they'd have to deal with the league directly. So.
And I don't know why the league would give up those rights necessarily. You know, just to be
maybe the current state we're in. Yeah.
Right. So, for example,
pandemic.
just so people understand,
we're during
like
a pandemic. Yeah.
When Nesson or when NBC Sports Boston is running a game, an old Celtics game. First of all, they in Nesson's case and NBC Sports Boston, they may have had the game to begin with. It was their broadcast in most of the times. Other times, it's like the World Series, but like. They're a team broadcaster and a team partner. So it's a lot easier for them to get the permission from the individual teams to do it. The same way we have for some of our rebroadcasts that we've done. We've had to seek permission to rerun stuff even though they were our broadcasts. We still have to go to the team and get the permission to do it. So I think it's a lot easier when you are in that position, but I don't think like local CBS affiliates would have an easy time going to the league and saying, hey, we broadcast NFL games on Sunday in the fall. Can we run the 96 AFC title game? They're probably going to say, no, you can't. No. And we're not going to sit here and hammer out an agreement to figure out what that would cost. No, we're not going to do it. Does that?
I do it during the pandemic. Yeah. I mean, hey, I mean, if the country's struggling and if people are depressed and, you know, sports is such a big part of our lives and this brings back some normalcy, some mental stability, I think maybe they'd be open to doing it for maybe a month.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it forever,
I mean,
but what's the cutoff date?
And what's in it for them? I mean,
nothing. Being good people.
Yeah. Well,
what's in it for Portnoy going to Goodell's house? Just being a good guy, right?
He's just donating.
Is he really?
A lot of money.
Yeah. He said he was up 900 grand in the stock market last week, day trading.
Great.
That's a big number.
Happy for him.
That's a big.
Allows him to be charitable.
Yeah.
Eric is in the car. What's up, Eric?
Hey guys, I want to bring some content, but I should have told the screen caller that I was at the November 15th, 1992 game when Zozo was throwing bombs to McMurtry.
That's right.
So anyways, guys, Zozo, first of all, a couple things I picked up before I get into this Buffalo Bills schedule in the playoffs. The first thing is Ann Mara was married to Ben Stiller. She was Peyton Oswald's mother, Spence. You didn't know about Ben Stiller. That was his wife, and that was his mother. She was in a lot of sitcoms, Archie Bunker's Place and stuff like that.
You know your actors, also, huh? Go ahead.
Right? Yeah, this is what COVID-19's done, you know what I mean? Red Eye and Genius, good book. But anyways, I read that. That was Mike Lombardi's. But the guy wanted less sports instead of more. He's going to be Jerry Maguire. Better watch out for himself with the job, like Jerry Maguire lost his job. But what I wanted to get into, guys, I'm sorry, I just went on hold for a while, was...
Yeah.
Assuming the Patriots go 3 out of 4 against the Dolphins and the Jets, the 6 most important games on the schedule are the 2 against the Bills, the Texans, the Chargers, the Raiders, and the Broncos. Now, everybody thinks the Patriots, I hear all these predictions, the Patriots are going to win 8 or 9 games. And at 8-8, they still might win the division and they still might get in the playoffs just because the Buffalo Bills schedule is no easier than the Patriots with the exception of they
play. All right, tell me why those are the most important games. Let's stick on that for a moment.
Okay, because they're in the division and they play them twice. So obviously,
well, no, the Broncos is conference.
Yeah,
no,
that's going to be a tiebreaker. Those are the teams that are going to be chasing. Those are the teams that are going to be chasing. But
just wanted to make sure I fully followed that. Okay, so you're pointing out.
Yeah,
no, it makes sense.
I'm sorry.
It makes sense.
And I just been on hold for a while.
You have to apologize. You said that 3 times. Don't worry about it.
I think you do make a good point.
We're going to leave you on
longer now. Conference games may have more importance than, let's say, a game against a tough team like Seattle, right?
Exactly.
You're saying a Broncos game means more. I get it.
But I think, to his original point, when you look at the totality of wins, you could say that the AFC East opponents this year are much more of a, you better go 5-1 minimum against that crew for you to have a chance to get to the playoffs. Because
the Bills isn't bad. But can I say this, guys? I want to give you guys an exercise, and I'll leave and I'll hang up. The 2 exercises I want you to do. The win-loss with the Buffalo Bills schedule. Everybody does the Patriots. Look at the Buffalo Bills schedules, especially the last 7 or 8 games of the year. They start off a little soft. And the other thing is, if you put an over and under the Patriots win-loss total at home and away, 2.5 and 5.5, home and away, you'll get your answer whether the Patriots are going to make the Super Bowl. 2.5 wins on the road, over or under. 5.5 wins at home, over or under. You'll come up with a total, and that's how the Patriots are going to make the playoffs. And you know what? I've been around for the good, the bad, and the ugly, and the great. I think we're still going to see good, and I think we're going to see great again. I'm a longtime Patriots fan sitting on those benches. 1971, Plunkett the Vataha. Raiders 20-6, they beat them. I'm going to listen to you guys. I love listening to you.
Bye. All right, Eric, thank you. Appreciate the call. Thank you for hanging on. He hung on a long time here.
Lots of chew on there. Yeah.
He had a lot of going on there. I like his idea about going through the Bills schedule. We will eventually do that. Yeah. But let's talk about...
I did it quickly, yeah. Beetle, by the way. After you mentioned it, I brought it up. It's the division games. I mean, you could easily talk yourself into taking it into 2 game chunks and just going split. I mean, it's like, you know, pretty much every team in the AFC East right now, you can convince yourself anywhere from 9-7 to 7-9, and it all seems plausible. You may have stronger feelings on where the Buffalo Bills stand right now going into this season than I do, but there's too much unknown when you're playing the Dolphins twice. And quite frankly, when you're playing the Patriots twice, I don't know. Seems like that, you know, they split those. Hell, you could probably split against the Jets. They got some games that I don't expect them to win. But, you know, they'll probably get one win out of those. I don't know. Yeah, doing it quickly.
Right.
I'll be surprised if we come up with something a hell of a lot more compelling than 8-8 or a game on either side of it.
Let's pick this up. NFL schedule, how it's sort of built around the importance of the conference. To pick up on Eric's point, we'll do that coming up. 90 seconds, no commercials.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line MA.org.